strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Murray's gonna score! Touchdown!
Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker.
Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Right on the price. Right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway in Val Vista. SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising. Vision blurring. Rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
For the second time, we said the second time in the past 3 years, the Cardinals will go to Cleveland for a road game. For the Cardinals' first-time head coach, it is a homecoming. Jonathan Gannon is a Cleveland native. While a member of this show is a former Browns player and former opponent of the Browns, who once upon a time, legend has it, triggered the dog pound and felt the wrath. So let's see here. Paul Calvisi here. Paulie Pencilneck never played in the NFL. I guess that leaves Ron Wolfley here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. We are awaiting Trey McBride, who will join us a little bit later, the tight end extraordinaire coming off week 8. But Wolf, do tell, what was it once upon a time you did that triggered the dog pound?
Paulie, it was truly incredible. It was the very first regular season NFL game I ever played in. On the road against the Cleveland Browns and the dog pound. And we were standing in our own end zone, and it was a 2-minute timeout, and suddenly there were these dog bones that were coming down. You know, there's one, and they were sticking into the ground because we had this massive deluge. And suddenly there they are, these dog biscuits. And I'm like, people are throwing dog biscuits. I grabbed it, and I turned around and threw the thing right into the dog pound. And Paulie, every dude, every veteran in the huddle said, don't! And I remember letting that thing go where I was looking at him like, what? What? You know? And, Paul, we got showered with dog bones. We won the game in overtime. It was incredible. But, yeah, that place, I got a lot of good memories and bad memories there.
All right. A rookie mistake. A very unique rookie mistake.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? That's kind of foreshadowing because we have another potential first-time ever starter in the NFL. We'll get to that. It's a process here because the NFL, even though we're only, what, 4 days into the week, five if you count game day Sunday, where we heard Jonathan Gannon name Josh Dobbs his starter for week 9. Well, guess what? Things are subject to change. And then by the next morning, you had a new order in the QB room on the depth chart where Josh Dobbs was demoted to number 3 and would either be Clayton Tune, the rookie, or the franchise quarterback Kyler Murray as your starter. But by Tuesday morning, Wolf, keep up here, another 24 hours later, and come the trade deadline, guess what? Josh Dobbs was a member of the Minnesota Vikings. He was traded along with a conditional 7th-round pick and returned for a 6th-round pick, which led the head coach, Jonathan Gannon, to tell the media this.
Just want to thank Josh for his contributions. You know, he came in, battled. He's an ultimate pro. What he did for us and our team, can't thank him enough. Josh is excited for the opportunity to go to Minnesota and go play. We're excited for him.
And he might play. He might play as soon as this week. We'll see what they're going to do, the Vikings. Why? Why do you think Josh Dobbs ultimately, Wolf, in hindsight now,
yes,
he had a few days to process. Why do you think he's a member of the Vikings?
Because I think the Minnesota Vikings looked at it and said, man, we got to find a guy that's got some type of experience here. And I know Josh Dobbs doesn't have a huge folder of experience, but I do know that this year he's actually got some experience on tape, of course, playing in these games for the Arizona Cardinals, these 8 games right here. So the Minnesota Vikings have something recently that they can look at and they can say, man, we like this and we like that right here. And I honestly believe it was also because Josh Dobbs is so smart. I think the Minnesota Vikings believe they can bring him up there and throw him out there this Sunday based on an offense that they're going to trim down with a game plan, of course. But I think they think he's going to be able to play. And, you know, it's really a testament to the intelligence of Josh Dobbs.
And you know what? With Kyler Murray coming back and Josh Dobbs not being part of the immediate future, then guess what? You traded away a fifth-round pick to get him. If you can get a sixth-round pick in return, you know, it's almost like a rental, and you get your deposit
yes.
back, right, on Josh Dobbs. So if you're GM Monty Osifort, okay, you get something in return. Then you go ahead and you re-sign Jeff Driskel to the practice squad, so you have that third quarterback just in case Kyler Murray is not going this week. We don't know as of yet. And all we know is it's down to either Kyler Murray or Clayton Tune. And here's what the offensive coordinator, Drew Petzing, had to say this week on Kyler if he goes, and just, you know, ramping it up on a short-term basis.
There are so many different aspects of it from an operational standpoint, from a decision-making standpoint, from getting in and out of the huddle. You know, I likened it, it'd be like someone going to play a regular season game on July 28th. And, you know, like realistically, that's how many practices he's had, essentially. So, you know, getting him up to speed, getting him ready to go, that's a big task. But when he's ready to go, he's going to be out there.
All right. And during the media portion of practice, we've seen him out there the last couple of days. Now he's been throwing to practice squad receivers and tight ends, so you can draw your own conclusion on that based on what we've seen. But, Wolf, how do you weigh this season coming in on short notice in 2 or 3 weeks practice time versus 4 years of experience and being a starter from day one ever since he was a rookie 2019?
Yeah, you know, that really is. To me, once again, you got to talk about Kyler Murray being in this offense, and it is a different offense, obviously. Yeah, I think Clayton Tune, Paulie, this is just me, the gut feeling here. I think Clayton Tune is going to be the starter, of course, going forward right now, unless something happens drastically. I think Clayton Tune is going to be the starter. I think Kyler Murray will maybe, this is just me, but maybe get something situationally. Nobody's told me that, Paul. This is just my gut feeling. I've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks right now. Would there be anything wrong with actually bringing Kyler Murray in situationally and actually playing him to kind of ease his way into coming back? I don't think there would be. That's my own opinion. Nobody has told me that right now, but it's going to be interesting to see. I've wanted to see Clayton Tune get the opportunity to go out in a regular season game and face regular season defenses and see how he does. So I'm very interested with that.
All right. Speaking of Clayton Tune, here's Jonathan Gannon on how he has kept the fifth round rookie ready to go.
Drew and Iz have done a great job with him as far as, you know, those guys have to spend a little extra time. He does things behind the scenes with those guys that gets them mental reps and, you know, the communication standpoint of it, even just learning football. Defense is different. NFL is different than college. So, you know, things that, you know, Kyler might know, Clayton might not know.
All right, so there's the known and unknown. You got a fifth-round rookie potentially making his first career start. There's a lot to find out, there's no doubt. Here's what we do know. We got a lot of action in the preseason. You got a lot of action at Minnesota in the joint practices against Brian Flores' first-team defense. I mean, a lot of snaps, Wolf. You saw every one of them. You were standing right there. Brian Flores did dial up a few different things, so he kind of got a regular season-ish type look, even though he wasn't being tackled to the ground. But you also saw him extend a lot of plays, did he not? I mean, he's a lot more mobile than most people might figure.
He really is, Paulie. Watching Clayton Tune, that was something that you and I both looked at when we were up there watching the joint practices and said, man, this guy really can run, does a good job. He's a much better athlete than most people give him credit for. But Clayton Tune, can I tell you that I believe he really does represent where most teams want to go in the National Football League? By blending the old offensive traditions and the new schemes that are out there, I think Clayton Tune is one of those guys, Paulie, that can do it. A guy that you can put under center. A guy that will be okay in the pocket, taking a three-step drop and throwing the ball, taking a five-step drop, a seven-step with play action coming off of it, getting into the shotgun and running all of the shotgun stuff, the RPOs and the zone reads, and getting into pistol and doing it all. I really do believe that Clayton Tune, and he did a lot of it actually in college as well. But I do believe, Paulie, this is a guy that embodies where most offensive coordinators want to go with offensive football moving forward in the National Football League.
You know, after he was drafted, we had Clayton Tune here on the Big Red Rage, and I asked him about what scheme he had been in at Houston, presuming it was an air raid, a spread. He said no. His last couple of years, it was more of a traditional NFL-type offense. So,
yes,
he has experience in both, to your point. Here's what else I'll say. In addition to extending the plays, I think we can presume the Cardinals now have a more accurate quarterback versus Josh Dobbs. Now, look, there was a lot to like with Josh Dobbs. I mean, you know, he did a lot to make plays. The first four games, he had zero picks. But his last four starts against for the Cardinals, he had five picks. And they were all very costly. And the two against Baltimore, very costly. A 7-7 game became 21-7. And even Brock Purdy had no picks over his first five games. He was 5-0. He's had five picks in his last three games. He's lost all three.
Yes.
Those interceptions will lose you games. And I think the Cardinals' accuracy from the quarterback spot just improved, even though he's never made a career start.
That's why, frankly, Paulie, I was a little surprised the Minnesota Vikings were all over Josh Dobbs, because if you look at tape, the last three games in particular, he had a quarterback rating of 68 in those three games.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he had that three, and in the three before this last week, he was under 60 in all three of those games. And after the second interception, his passer rating was 25, and then he had a furious fourth quarter. So we'll see. I mean, it's either that or the Vikings were left with their own fifth-round rookie in Jaren Hall. Hey, Cardinals focus, Saturday, 8:30, 12 news. We'll get you ready for this Cardinals and Browns matchup. In fact, we'll continue. Trey McBride is our guest. We'll talk Clayton Tune more next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Second and goal from the 7, Clayton Tune. Long snap count in the gun. Snap, short set, looking into the end zone. Throws, got his man. Caden Davis back in the end zone. Touchdown, Cardinals. Right on the money. In sync for 6.
And that is a great throw right there by Clayton Tune. Cover 0, brings the house. Great answer. Ball's coming out, crosses face. Anticipation, everything you need to see, we saw right there by Clayton Tune.
You know, I forgot about that. That's Drew Stanton there from the preseason, the debut against Denver, and a cover 0. As Vance Joseph was indeed dialing it up in that preseason game, and Clayton Tune did get some looks, some exotic looks, where they were bringing numbers, and he excelled at times. Because we all think about the last impression he left in the preseason, where he missed the blitz off the edge, the DB blitz, right? And he was looking the wrong way, and then there was this strip sack, and it was very costly, even though he rebounded in that Minnesota game. Very next play when the Cardinals got back on offense was a 20-yard completion to Greg Dortch. But interesting to note there, Clayton Tune, if indeed he's tracking to be the starter on Sunday, it's the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Trey McBride, our guest coming up, Paul Calvisi and Ron Wolfley. And Wolf, I'll stop talking here for a minute, and you talk about Clayton Tune and just how much you think the preseason is going to matter now that he gets a regular season start, because we all know August is vastly different from September, October, November, December.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Paulie. It's very, very tough. It's not going to be anything like what he saw in preseason right now, especially when you're talking about the Cleveland Browns defense. Their defense, their pass defense in particular, you're talking about the number one pass defense in the National Football League in terms of yards per game allowed, and number 6 in terms of yards per play allowed. So not only are they really, really good defensively with their coverage schemes and buttoned up on the back end, but on the front end, they'll get after you as well. They're number 3 in sacks per attempt. And, oh, by the way, Paul, the number 1 third down defense in the league. What does it take, Paulie, to have great third down defense? You better have a pass rush, and you better be buttoned up on the backside. So Clayton Tune is going to get a huge sample size of what it means to be the best defense against the pass in this league. He's going to see it face to face.
Yeah, here's another one I just found in the Cleveland defense. They have the best 3 and out rate through 8 games since 2000. Think about that. They have forced a greater rate of three and outs by offenses than anyone in more than two decades. That was probably that Ravens team the year 2000. And at home, Cleveland has just been money. They're 3-1 at home. They've allowed less than 13 points per game. So, yeah, it's certainly a challenge. There's no doubt. Here's the thing, though. He apparently has the mentality and mindset and demeanor to handle this sort of pressure in his first career start. Just listen to what DJ Humphries had to say this week about the rookie Clayton Tune.
Clayton, he commands the huddle how he looks. You know, don't he just look like, I'm going to throw it, man. I mean, you know, touchdown. What do you want me to tell you? Like, that's kind of his vibe. So, I enjoy it. I love picking with him and kind of getting a little fire out of him because he's so cool and collected. And I'm a big fan of Clayton as well. It's just his demeanor and how he carries himself. It's super cool to me to see a young guy with that type of confidence and understanding and being able to be himself and just around everyone else.
That's DJ Humphries right there. I was talking to one of Clayton Tune's teammates in the locker room. He said, if I didn't already know he was from Texas, I'd think Clayton Tune was from SoCal. Because he's kind of got that Carson Palmer chill about him. So hopefully maybe that sets him up well for Sunday, considering it. Because the last Cardinals quarterback to win their first career start, you care to guess, Ron Wolfley? This is your trivia question here on the Big Red Rage as we await Trey McBride in a little bit. Last Cardinals quarterback to win their first career start, John Skelton, 2010.
Big Red!
Cardinals quarterbacks ever since are 0-4-1. That one would be Kyler Murray's tie in his debut against Detroit his rookie year.
Yeah, I think you also have to remember, too, it was Clayton Tune who, after the draft, right, said that he felt like he was the best quarterback in this draft, and he meant it. Now, I will tell you, he since has backed off that, and we talked to him, Paulie, as a matter of fact, and he was talking about how the fact that, you know, that's really not who he is. He does believe it, but he doesn't like sharing it with others. He didn't feel like he wanted to share it with others, and yet he did. So for me, he's got an awful lot of confidence. That is the one thing about Clayton Tune. He's got confidence that he can go out and do the job, and a lot of times that's great. You've got to just go back it up. You don't want to talk about it, and Clayton is certainly not a talker. He's a guy that wants to go back it up.
You know what else he has as a rookie is a run game, a stout run game. Cardinals are top 438 yards per game as an offense, number two in yards per carry as a rushing offense, 5.1 yards per carry. They lead the league in 20-plus yard runs with 13. So that's always a benefit, right? A quarterback's best friend, the run game. And, hey, if they go out and they run it 30-plus times, I don't think anybody will be surprised at Cleveland. Here's Clayton Tune at his locker yesterday meeting the media, and the question was just about what sort of challenges he think he might face in his first start.
Just staying even-keeled, staying in the moment. Don't get too high, don't get too low. Obviously, there's ebbs and flows through every game. So just remain constant and keep everyone on that same level.
Here's what else I think he has going for him. Well, if you can agree or disagree, and I know you will. He's been running the scout team for 2 months against the Cardinals' number one defense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in some ways, I get it. Nothing's going to replicate regular season, full contact, full speed football. But he has been going against the Cardinals' ones for a couple of months. So hopefully that goes a long way towards getting him ready for this opportunity.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's not going to, Paulie. But as you've already said, man, going up to Cleveland and playing up there against the Browns in a regular season game against that defense, especially that pass defense, it's going to be a whole new situation for Clayton Tune. I don't think there's any way you could get him ready based on practice, if you know what I'm talking about. And for me right now, it's going to be a tough road for Clayton Tune, but I'm very excited to see him because of his versatility. We were talking a little bit about this earlier in the show, just his versatility in terms of being able to go under center and be comfortable with the package of plays that you're going to run under center. You can put him in the shotgun as well. You can put him in the pistol. He can do everything you need to do. It's one of the things that we marveled at during training camp, just watching him, and in the preseason as well, just how well he was able to blend all of those formations together. And also, too, physically, the touch that he would have on the ball as well. He's got a great arm. He's got a strong arm. I wouldn't say it's a cannon, but it's a strong arm, and yet he's got this velvety touch on it as well. I'm expecting good things from Clayton Tune, Paul.
He trusts that arm, too. We found that early. Even in the offseason, a lot of the guys out there, even in rookie minicamp, they're like, he does not hesitate to put that ball into tight windows. He trusts his arm, and he likes to think he has enough accuracy to beat corners and beat defenders, even if his receiver's only open by a few inches. So, I mean, that's something there really that has been signature about his game. What a lot of people might not realize is that Drew Petsing, until this season, had spent the last 8 years with Kevin Stefanski. And so the Cardinals' offensive scheme is very similar to the Browns' offensive scheme. Now, what does it look like, this Cardinals' offense, with Clayton Tune? Because we all figure it's going to look different when Kyler Murray comes back, at least to a certain degree. There's going to be certain things where they cater to that particular quarterback. So I don't know. You care to surmise, Wolf? I mean, where and how do you think this Cardinals offense might look different than we've seen at all, because Josh Dobbs has started and played all 8 games so far?
Yeah, I think you're going to see an awful lot of Clayton Tune under center. I think you're going to see him under center a lot. I would say with Deshaun Watson, depending on whether or not Deshaun Watson is going to play, he's a guy that the Browns want to stick under center as well. But Clayton Tune is a guy, when compared to Kyler Murray, that you would like to actually have under center maybe a little bit more than Kyler. So that's what I expect our offense to do, is go out there and get into 12, get into 13 personnel, and use Clayton Tune under center where you can run it and use play action to throw it.
I also wonder if Browns defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz, who's a super veteran in this league, dials it up for the sake of dialing it up just because there is a rookie making his first career start. Does he get more exotic than he ever would typically just because you have a rookie who hasn't seen a lot in the league? You know what? That's a good question for Trey McBride, because he's part of the pass protection game as well. We'll ask him next. This is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Setting up a screen, throwing over the middle, it's caught, and then how about McBride after the catch, hurdling a defender at the 20? It's a 19-yard gain for Trey McBride to the 15-yard line.
Trey McBride going airborne. Man, you just see the athleticism of Trey McBride.
Throws across the middle, and it's caught inside the 5-yard line by McBride, fighting for the first down at the 2. He's still pushing the pile, and he pushes it into the end zone for the touchdown. Trey McBride, all muscles, driving the defense into the end zone for the score.
You might watch tape for the next 20 years and never see a play like this run again. Unbelievable. He gets stood up, and the offensive line breaks to the ball and pushes Trey McBride in.
The caption on that video should read, "You're not the boss of me, Baltimore defense." Everyone wants to play quarterback. Hardly anyone will ever experience what it's like to be at the epicenter of a tush push. But as a tight end, the ever-rare tight end who actually experienced that, Ron Wolfley, our special guest is here, Trey McBride, second-year Cardinals tight end on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. How many times do you think you've been asked about that play in the last 4 or 5 days, Trey?
Yeah, it's been surreal, you know, just seeing how many people, you know, how much attention that got. But most of all, it was just crazy. I can't believe they didn't blow that thing dead. I thought that, you know, they were going to blow it dead. I kept pushing my feet, and, you know, I felt that second surge from the big old lineman, and once I felt that surge, I knew we were getting in there. So yeah, that was a crazy play. I'm glad we got in there though.
Now, Troy, I've got to ask you this right now. You know what? I was glad you got in there as well, but I got to ask you this. Tell me about Fort Morgan, Colorado. That's where you were. That's where you grew up. Tell me about Fort Morgan, man. What's that like?
Yeah, you know, small town. Grew up. It's, you know, about 10,000 people. You know every single person that lives in the town, where they grew up, what their parents do, everything about them. But it was a special place. We had nothing to do but play sports. I played basketball, I played baseball, played football, and that's what we did all year round, 24/7. We'd go down to the park, play all the sports in the world, and did that all year round. It was a blast.
At what point in high school did you realize, okay, I'm a football player? or were you still telling yourself baseball, basketball, and weighing all three?
Yeah, you know, I think it was it took a while. I was really teetering on all the sports. I had offers for baseball, had offers for basketball. And,
whoa!
And then the other thing was just I was like, man, I think I want to go play football. My brother was already committed to Colorado State, and I was like, I think this is kind of my best choice. You know, I want to go play D1, play football with my brother, and that's what I ultimately decided.
So you had offers to go play for baseball and advance your career, or basketball? You had offers for that?
Yeah, they were, you know, mostly small Division I,
sure,
or Division II, but yeah, definitely had opportunity to play in any sport I wanted in college, which was cool.
All right, in baseball, what did you play, though?
Yeah, I was a catcher growing up, and then once I got to about sophomore year of high school, I switched to first base. I was tired of, you know, my knees were starting to hurt a little bit getting down that catcher's position, so I went to first base where I could just stand there and catch the ball. It was real easy, and most of all, you know, I was a powerful hitter, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you have the school record in home runs at Fort Morgan High School. You know, you should chop it up with your head coach because Jonathan Gannon is a Cleveland native. You guys are going to have the walkthrough on Saturday at his alma mater, St. Ignatius High School. So he's an All-State DB, plus he played receiver. He was All-State in basketball, hit a game-winning free throw to win a state title, and he also ran the hurdles, believe it or not. So, you know, you got to go in there and flex a little bit on the three sports star stuff your high school days with your head coach.
Yeah, no doubt. That's really cool. I didn't know all that about him. That's really cool. I'll have to chop it up with him about that. That's awesome.
So tell us about the way your head coach has used you, especially the last couple of games, because all of a sudden you're a fantasy football favorite, Trey McBride. You got 14 targets in Wolf. Here's the stats, and if Trey doesn't know this, your 10 catches are the most for a Cardinals tight end in team history. And your 95 receiving yards are the most for a Cardinals tight end since 1989, since Wolf's former teammate Rob Awald.
Wow.
So what you did in this last game was historic. Just tell us about how you're being used now.
Yeah, I think it just kind of comes with opportunity. I've kind of been preparing, kind of been doing everything the same way each and every week. But really, I think, you know, obviously with Zach on IR, I've gotten a little bit more opportunity, and that's been great. You know, just getting the passes I can, getting thrown to me, and building that chemistry with the quarterbacks, building the chemistry with the coaches that they can trust, that they can put the ball in my hand. And then most of all, when I get that, you know, third and five, you know, when I get a 5-yard catch, I turn that into 10 yards. That's kind of what I'm trying to do, is turn small catches into big yards and things like that. And I continue doing that. And ultimately, I've been getting a little more opportunity.
Trey, where is your confidence level right now? Would you say your confidence level right now is as high as it's been since you've come into the league?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel like just having that opportunity, getting able, knowing that I can catch, you know, 10 balls in a game now, knowing I can put up 100 yards in a game, things like that. Just building that confidence. It kind of feels like I'm back in college again. You know, it's what it felt like the last couple of weeks. So it's been fun. It's been good. But at the same time, I got to be consistent. Got to keep doing it week in and week out to show these guys that it's not just a here and there thing.
So over the past three games, you have 186 receiving yards, which is fourth most by any NFL tight end since week six. Think about that. And then, yeah, of course, the capper was that game against Baltimore. Here's your head coach, Jonathan Gannon, on your performance.
He played fantastic. He had a heck of a game, made plays when his number was called, made some big-time catches, really good blocker. Really not surprised. He's been coming along. He's been improving his game every day, and he had a really good game.
We'll get back to the 17-yard touchdown catch where you had a lot of help from your 300-pound friends, but there was a catch you didn't make at a high degree of difficulty. And, man, were you frustrated with yourself on the sideline. Just tell us about that moment.
Yeah, gosh, man, I know I can make that play. That's what frustrated me. I was just a drop. Guy hit my arm right when I had the ball, and just frustrated me because I know I can make that play. You know, 9 out of 10 times I make that play, and that one time he got me. So I was just more frustrated with myself, and I was glad that the didn't let that affect my game. It you know, I was able to have a couple more catches after that, but ultimately, you know, that I feel like I can catch every ball, and when I don't, I get real frustrated at myself sometimes.
Trey, what is your weight at right now?
Yeah, I weigh about 245. You know, I kind of teeter between 240 and 250, but I'm kind of right around that 245 range.
Okay, so I like you at 260. No, I'm just kidding. Your blocking is getting better, and JG even was commenting on that as well. This is really important to me because I see you as a stud tight end. I've talked to you about this in the past. I see you as a stud tight end, as a Y, a guy that can line up on the hip of the tackle and right on the line of scrimmage and come off the ball and attack at the point of attack and hold up and be a George Kittle, if you will. And yet I see you also as a guy that can move and be that weapon offensively here. But do you see yourself as a stud tight end?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I can put my hand in the dirt and I can make plays in the run game as well. You know, I think that's a huge part of being a tight end is being able to block. I think that's what's really helped me in the pass game is these run action plays that we keep calling up has been wide open for me because of that effect that I've had in the run game. They have to respect the run. Those safeties come down, and then we can usually hit the big one over the top.
So, Trey, you have a desire to be a better blocker, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think you got to be a good blocker. You got to, those guys, you know, running the ball is a huge part of the game. So you got to be effective in the run game. And if you can have a good run game, your pass game is going to be awesome as well.
When you've been used as an H-back or even as a fullback in different formations, because we know Drew Petsing, you know, he's very multiple with the way he goes about his offense. What's that like for you? Has there been a learning curve with that?
No, I mean, I did a little bit of that in college. I was, you know, played a little fullback and stuff in college. So it's not something I specialize in. It's not something I do that, but I can definitely go in there and block somebody. I can run routes from the backfield. I can do things like that. And it actually works out really well because sometimes when you're lined up in the backfield, you get matchups with linebackers, and I feel like that's a favorable matchup for me. So that's something that I kind of enjoy doing. I've been willing to do that, and it's really helped our team.
Trey, talk to us a little bit about the Browns' defense, and in particular, their pass defense. They're really good.
Yeah, they are. They're a very tough defense. They have a very, very good up front. You know, obviously they have 99 Smith from that they traded from the Vikings. They obviously have Myles Garrett, who's an elite, you know, player playing at a really high level right now. You go to their backfield, they got linebackers that are fast. They're a little smaller linebackers, but they play real fast. They play hard. And then they got, you know, their DBs. They got Ward. They got their safeties are all pros. I mean, they got a lot of really good players back there. So it's a very tough defense, something that, you know, it's a challenge for us, but something I'm really looking forward to, you know, play back-to-back really good defenses and hopefully, you know, put up good numbers.
Trey McBride is our guest here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. So if rookie Clayton Tune is your quarterback on Sunday, do you think that Jim Schwartz defense will dial it up for the sake of dialing it up, get exotic, just because there is a rookie back there trying to show everything except the kitchen sink?
Yeah, you know, I definitely think that's exactly what we're expecting to happen. You know, with a rookie quarterback, a guy who doesn't have a ton of experience, you're expecting a lot of pressure, a lot of different exotic looks, different things that he hasn't seen. But at the same time, you know, Clayton's been great. He's prepared well. I feel like he's very prepared to go in this game. If he's the guy that we're going with, he's going to be prepared and going to play a great game for us.
So as you watch tape of the Cleveland Browns, of course, and their pass defense in particular, rundown situation, 1st and 10, 2nd and 1 to 6. What kind of coverages are they showing right now?
Yeah, they have a lot of different things, but they really run a lot of single high, whether that's man-to-man that you're going to get, or they run a lot of cover 3. So you're going to get a lot of single high with a changeup of cover 2, but you're going to get a lot of single high, a lot of different looks. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. They do a lot of different things. Myles Garrett's obviously a huge point in that that defense, so we're going to have to stop him and you know, go from there.
I mean, think of some of the guys you've gone against already this year. Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa, right? The Aaron Donalds. How often are you asked to chip against some of those premier guys?
Yeah, you know, it feels like every game I'm in there chipping, or sometimes, you know, have those guys in pass pro. It's not something I specialize in, but something I got to do every once in a while to make sure that we can get the ball downfield. You know, if I got to chip them and slow them down to get Hollywood open or someone downfield, that's what I'll do. So that's exactly what it's been. And sometimes those checkdowns, you know, chip and run a flat, that sometimes they sink, and that checkdown you catch for 5 yards, you can kind of turn into 10, 15. 15 yards every once in a while. So something that we'll do a lot this game, and it'll be fun.
As you look at some of the edge guys that you've played against already, how does Myles Garrett stack up?
Yeah, no doubt. He's playing at a very, very high level. You know, I say he's definitely up there at the top. He's playing at an elite level right now. He's a stud. He's done a lot of things. He plays all over the ball. He plays in linebacker. He moves around. He does all kinds of things with him. So it's going to be a great matchup. I'm excited to see, you know, how we handle him.
And look, we're going to find out a lot about Clayton Tune, if indeed he's the guy on Sunday. What do you think we know already? For example, I've gone around the locker room, guys are like, hey, he's mobile now. He can extend plays. You know, what else do you think you've seen from his skill set? Because we saw a lot of him in August in the preseason as well.
Yeah, he's definitely mobile. He's a guy who can make plays with his feet, but he's confident. He throws the ball really well, and he's got a powerful arm. You know, he's a guy who can get the ball downfield. He's a guy who's accurate, will throw the ball where it needs to be, and he's a leader. I think he's done a great job, you know, coordinating the huddle, being dominant in the huddle. You know, his cadence has been great. He feels confident and everything like that, and just seeing that from one of his teammates, it's very promising to see.
Trey, where do you think your offense needs to improve the most? If you could pick one thing where the offense collectively, not individually, but collectively needs to improve.
Yeah, I think just executing plays. I think Drew does a great job of calling plays. He does a great job of mixing up run and pass and things like that. But I think just executing on little things like that, whether it's in pass pro, whether it's running the ball, whatever it is, finishing a play. We've done a great job in the run game, but there's just a little bit left out there that we can be better at. There's done a good job in the pass game, but there's just more out there that we're leaving on the field. So just having that little extra strain each game and continue going, and I think it'll be great.
Yeah, Wolf knows we were on doing his TV show this week. Jonathan Gannon said, look, in known pass situations, we have to be better. When there's no threat of the run and they know we're throwing the ball, we got to improve in that area. So we'll see if that happens on Sunday. Everyone out there is asking us, ask him about Kyler Murray. What have you seen about Kyler so far?
You know, I've seen just a little bit we see of him in practice. He's done a great job. He's definitely the same Kyler Murray he was before the injury. He's fast. He's elite. He throws the ball well, and he's done a great job back there. I'm super excited to as he keeps inching back. It's going to be a great time when he gets back.
And Wolf, I saw where he got the ball back, Trey McBride, after the rugby scrum touchdown. He threw the ball into the stands, and guys got the ball back for you.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know how they got it. I thought I threw that thing into the next stadium over. You know, I threw that thing so high. But yeah, those equipment guys did a great job, got it back for me. So I'm excited to take that one home.
All right, we'll see you on the team plane. Enjoyed it. Thanks, Trey.
Yeah, no
Trey.
Doubt. Thank
there,
you.
There
you
go. Cardinals. By the way, speaking of Jonathan Gannon, watch Cardinals game plan Friday, 6:30, 12 news. We talked to JG about everything. Trey McBride, our special guest. We continue with the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Just so folks out there know, we're back here during the break trying to come up with all these things to say if Sheldrick Redwine makes a play. We got to give full credit to our producer, Jim Omohundro, saying if he makes a play, say that he pressed his grapes or that they bottled up red wine.
Sheldrick red wine.
And what did you say? He got corked?
Yeah, stick a cork in him.
Red wine pressed his grapes. And he got fermented at the 30-yard line. This is what we do
That's
during
my
break.
Favorite right there. He was red wine got fermented on that 9 route.
Just so people out there listening know, this is what we do during commercials.
Well, you don't have to ask play-by-play man extraordinaire Dave Pasch, nor our producer Jim Omohundro, twice to talk wine. Okay? I mean, these guys like talking and drinking a little vino here and there. So, Sheldrick Redwine, who was a Cleveland Browns safety when the Cardinals played the Browns in 2019, he's currently in the Cowboys practice squad. So, he was the subject of much speculation during one of the commercial breaks. So, you guys were entertaining yourselves, if nothing else, right, Wolf?
He got fermented, Paul. Oh, that was my favorite.
All right.
That was it right there. I mean, there's just so much you can read into that, Paulie.
So, how did the Cardinals bottle up that number 2 ranked run game by the Cleveland Browns? That is one question we have to pose here. And what scares you the most, before we get to the Cleveland defense and we hear from Jonathan Gannon, what scares you the most about this Browns offense when you look at it?
Just how physical they are. Once again, this is very, very similar to the Baltimore Ravens and how the Baltimore Ravens attack a defense. They're going to be more under center, I would imagine. Deshaun Watson, I think, this is just me guessing, but I think he's probably going to be ready to play on Sunday. I know that he was out there throwing during the week, of course. Yesterday was out there practicing. So we'll see how that goes with Deshaun Watson, but really doesn't matter, Pauly, because whether it's Deshaun Watson or whatever quarterback they're going to run out there, to me right now, it's 12 and it's 13 personnel. This is what they do an awful lot of. They're in 11 personnel from time to time, but it truly is 13 personnel. It's 21 personnel as well, 20 personnel. They go with a lot of two back, and they hammer you. That's what they do. It's very similar to the Baltimore Ravens. I would say offensively and even defensively, the physicality level on both sides of the ball is Raven-esque.
And they have a heavy screen game, so you know they use it. Here's the thing. Cleveland is 4-3 despite being minus 7 in the turnover ratio. They have 17 giveaways. That's an NFL high. Somehow they've won 4 of 7 games despite that stat. Now, if you look at their defense, and you cited everything, and it's apt, right? Number one in total D, passing D, third down defense. But the past 2 weekends, past 2 games, they've allowed 62 points and over 800 total yards. And 3 games in a row, they've given up an opening drive touchdown. So we'll see exactly what the Cardinals encounter. Here's what Jonathan Gannon knows he's getting in the entire Cleveland defense.
Their whole defense, I mean, you know, Coach Schwartz is one of the best to ever do it. They're fast, aggressive. They got really good players on all 3 levels. They're connected with how they play because it's a little bit different style than ours. But they're one of the top defenses in the NFL. We got a big challenge ahead.
And I'll say this, week 4, Lamar Jackson without 6 starters on offense, right? Missing his top 2 receivers, top 2 tackles. He went in there, went 15-19, had 2 touchdowns, throwing 2 touchdowns, running. So if it's Clayton Toon or Kyler, that quarterback run game might be effective against the Browns.
Yeah, no, I definitely would say you're right on that, Pauly. I also would say that they haven't been good. This is really weird. You've got a defense that is the number one defense on third down. Would you say that's a big metric, Paul? Third down and getting off. Their third down percentage is number one in the National Football League. They give up the least amount of first downs per game. Number one in first downs allowed. And yet, at the same time, once you get into the red zone, that's where their defense is breaking down. They're number 29 in red zone situations, Paul. Number 29, and then number 32 in goal to go. So, wow. Just the opposite of the Baltimore Ravens, who were number 2 in the red zone and number 1 in goal to go last week. Now all of a sudden you're taking on the Cleveland Browns, and the Browns are horrible at red zone and in goal to go. So that's been their problem right now. But out on the field, they've been pretty good.
Yeah, and you know who's really, really good is Myles Garrett, of course, and he definitely merits a mention. He might be your NFL Defensive Player of the Year, 3rd in sacks, has the most sacks of any player ever before the age of 28. He just eclipsed, what's that guy's name, Reggie White? He was pretty good. So Myles Garrett is a very dynamic player, and he'll come off either edge of the Cardinals' offensive line. Beyond that, I mean, you have a Cleveland defense that really is just known for being ultra physical, and we'll see if the Cardinals can run the ball. And once again, we know the Browns can run the ball. The last 3 games, they've run for 150+. So, Wolf, this game might be done in 2.5 hours, for all we know, if both offenses come out there and just commit to the run.
Yeah, it's amazing you say that, Pauly, because that's exactly what I think we're going to see. Jerome Ford, of course, is a guy. He's questionable, but this is a guy that is capable of running the ball. Anytime you got a guy who's 5'10", 220, I like you. I like you immediately. Kareem Hunt, as well as a guy that we're going to see. Obviously, Nick Chubb is done for the season with that incredibly horrific injury that he suffered. But this is a very good run-blocking offensive line that the Cleveland Browns have. They're not great in terms of pass protection, Pauly. As a matter of fact, they're not very good at all. They give up an awful lot of pressures, and they give up some sacks, number 25 in sacks per attempt, by way of example. So they want to run the ball. That's what they are. They're number 2 in number 10, number 2 in rushing yards per game, and number 10 in rushing yards per play. They're going to line up and they're going to attack the line of scrimmage, and they're going to hammer you with power personnel groups. This is who they are. And then they'll use the power of play action, especially with Deshaun Watson. He's so good at it. They'll use that to throw the ball and take some shots down the field. But this is a run-first team.
Yeah, last week in a win against, actually in a loss, I'm sorry, against Seattle, right? A game they led 20-17 with 2 minutes to play and lost 24-20. They won time of possession 37-23. They went out and ran it 40 times for a 155 on the ground. And to your point, Nick Chubb, done for the year. Their two-time All-Pro offensive tackle Jack Conklin, a season-ending knee injury as well. Yet they went out there with Kareem Hunt, Pierre Strong Jr., and Jerome Ford, and they had 137 yards from those three running backs. So there's no doubt that's the identity of that offense. And if they're trying to protect their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, then guess what? Here it comes, and you got to be able to stop it. And we saw Gus Edwards have success. We saw the Rams have success. And, of course, Christian McCaffrey have success in the last few games against the Cardinals when it comes to running the football. As always, special thanks, Jim Almohandro, Cody Fincher, Jackson Zuber, Ron Wolfley on Paul Calvisi. Special thanks to Trey McBride, our special guest. This has been the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, right on the price, right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway in Val Vista. The Rage is brought to you by SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats, and by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.